I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and I'm here on the Real Relationships Show sharing my solo sessions. These sessions are accumulation of my expertise, my experience, my thoughts, my opinion, the answers to questions I get asked in my email and on my socials, and the questions that I answer every week on my regular radio slot. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, and let's get ready to start changing your life by changing your relationship. Oh, I love that song. Hi, Andy, how are you? I've got a great one today, and it's one I come across every so often. Sam has written into us and has said, "My partner gives me the silent treatment. How can I get through to them?" Now, I don't know, Sam, if you're male or female, so we'll just refer to your partner. You know, this is a common behaviour, unfortunately. It's far more common than we think. And contrary to popular belief and what the majority of the media would have us believe, it's not always a sign of abuse. I think we have jumped on the bandwagon that every behaviour that is different to our own is a form of abuse. And if I hear one more person tell me they are the victim of narcissistic abuse, I think I will go mad. Yes, we all have narcissistic traits. Every single one of us does. Just because we disagree with somebody, just because somebody has a different opinion to us, does not make them a narcissist. Let's stop labeling people things that they are not. Yes, some of their behaviours are unhealthy. Some of the behaviours are unpleasant to be a party of. But it doesn't necessarily make everybody an abuser. And if we were to label every behaviour as narcissistic or abusive, every single one of us would be an abuser. We would be a perpetrator of abuse. And when you think about it that way, it makes you realise that maybe we do jump on the bandwagon a little bit too much. But I digress. Sorry about that. That's me on my soapbox a bit. And that's a lot for this time of the evening, isn't it? When we want to be enjoying some fantastic music. But, you know, why do people give us the silent treatment? Maybe you give people the silent treatment yourself. And there could be many reasons for it. It could be, yes, that you are doing it to punish your partner. You know, let's not disregard that. You could be consciously giving your partner the silent treatment as a form of punishment. And I know how difficult that is. I've been on the receiving end of that. One of my ex-husbands, would give me the silent treatment and would consciously and actively walk out of a room when I walked in it and ignore any direct questions, any comments, and in fact, would go hungry rather than say they wanted food or rather than say yes, please, or no, thank you. Totally bonkers behaviour, but that's my take on that. You know, somebody giving us the silent treatment, if it is given as a punishment, and that is quite subjective, if the silent treatment is a punishment, then absolutely it is a red flag. So let's just acknowledge that. It can be a red flag. But there need to be a whole host of other behaviours around that before it really becomes abusive, before it can be classed as narcissistic. And I'm not going to go into that this evening. But equally, the silent treatment could be their way of handling something. Perhaps they don't handle conflict very well. And rather than get involved in an argument, they want to take that step back, reflect, and then respond. Now, granted, it would be better if they could say, "I don't want to discuss that right now. I need time to think about it." But we all know in the heat of a moment, we can often say and do things that we wish we hadn't, that we regret later. So the silent treatment could be their way of avoiding saying or doing things that they know they are going to regret later. Equally, it could be a learned behaviour, and I touched on that a moment ago. It could be that in a time of conflict, they have seen their parents, their grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends, parents, resort in or revert into silence as a way of handling a difficult situation. And we learn most of our behaviours between the ages of 1 to 7. And I can do a whole other section on this some other time. But we lay down our core beliefs between the ages of 1 to 7. Between the ages of 7 and 14, we then start to assimilate who we are, what we are, and develop our identity. And between 14 and 21, then we learn to socialize and bring all of those beliefs, all of those behaviors and actions into play. Now, it's not as rigid as every 7 years, but it's roughly in a 7-year cycle. I'm sure you've heard of that before. That's roughly how it works. So the silent treatment could be a learned behavior from parents, because there is no manual about how to have a relationship, is there? They're coming through now as we learn more and more, as psychologists learn more and more, as psychotherapists learn more, as counselors learn more. We understand and recognize the behaviors and actions and beliefs that create a strong, healthy, and robust relationship. But if we haven't done any of that reading, if we haven't had the counseling, had the therapy, then we are just going to behave in the way we have been shown by the people that brought us up or the people that we respect. And we'll touch on this a bit more in a little while. Let's take a break now for some music and let's get back to it later. Oh, fabulous. You know, I'm such a romantic. I love this music. But let's go back to where we were before that fabulous song. We were talking about learned behaviours, and that's one reason why you could be getting silent treatment. But another reason for it is that they are being abusive. And I don't want to disregard that, because I hear it so often and it is such a red flag. And I don't want you to think that I'm just glossing over that, you know, because we're on the love show, because it's Sunday night. You know, let's tackle some of these issues. I'm not going to go into too much depth. You know, we're not on one of the BBC channels here, but let's just look at that for a moment. If silent treatment is being used as a way of control, as a way of undermining you, demeaning you, belittling you, then yes, absolutely, it is a red flag that signposts to potentially more abusive types of behaviour. And this particularly aligns with psychological abuse or coercive control. And if that behaviour makes you feel in any way less than the person you are, makes you feel stupid, makes you feel unattractive, makes you feel unworthy, unloved, depletes your confidence, depletes your self-esteem and your self-worth, then it is abusive. And don't be fooled by the partner that says to you, "How can I possibly be abusing you? I don't hit you." Because psychological abuse is as damaging, maybe more so, than physical abuse. And there have been lots of studies that say people who've been physically and psychologically abused will say the psychological abuse is more difficult to recover from. And I don't want to get too heavy here on a Sunday night, so we're not going to delve into that right now. But anybody that wants to learn more about that, that wants a conversation about that, if you write in to andy@theloveshow.co.uk and say you want a session on that, I am happy to give it to you. But I want to keep it a little bit more upbeat in the love show on a Sunday night. We don't want to go into the week thinking all doom and gloom about abuse and domestic abuse. But, you know, it does affect roughly 25% of the population. 1 in 4 of you listening here tonight are going to be in an abusive relationship. That's a really sobering thought. But If your partner is giving you a silent treatment and you know that it is because they are punishing you, or they might have even said to you, I'm not talking to you because of X, Y, and Z, and it is as a punishment, that is abuse. And that is when you need to seek help and support, whether you choose to speak to somebody like me, or whether you choose to speak to a friend or a family member. And this sort of abuse is really, really difficult to have people hear and understand. Because even in this day and age, most people still believe abuse is when you turn up with a black eye or a thick lip or a cut or a bruise somewhere on your body. They don't see how a couple who present as being in a good and healthy relationship, when they are out with people, could possibly be in an abusive relationship when they are home. But we mask these things. We go out, society conditions us to behave in certain ways in public. And for the most part, we put on that brave face. We put on that show of togetherness. So people never, ever know. And you might go out and the abusive partner might be the life and soul of the party. Everybody loves them. Everybody thinks they're a wonderful person. They promise things. They treat people really well. And you might be the person who they think, oh, they're just a bit quiet. They're a bit withdrawn. Or if they notice that there is a change in your demeanor at that time, they might be told, oh, she's not feeling well. He's not feeling very well. You might even say yourself, oh, I'm not feeling on top form today. We mask that behavior because there is still a lot of shame attached to it. And it's why I am so vocal about these things. I'm so vocal about my own experience. And I'm not afraid to have these conversations because the more we talk about them, the less shame we attach to them. And shame is a whole other issue. And if you want to find out more about shame, I strongly recommend you look up Brené Brown. She's an American psychologist who has made her life's work about shame and the impacts of it and how we can overcome it. And she has some incredible books out there. Look them up. She's amazing. But shame is a massive, massive factor when it comes to abusive relationships, when it comes to dealing with being given the silent treatment, because if you were on the receiving end of that treatment, you're made to feel that it is your fault. And then we go into ourselves, the shame comes up. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I should have dressed differently. I should have made different food. I shouldn't have done this, that, and the other, whatever it might be. And so we start to feel shame for our own behavior. That makes us more withdrawn. That makes us then want to believe that our partner is right. And it eats away at our self-confidence, our self-esteem, and our self-worth even more. Now, I don't have the time to go into this in more depth here, but if you do want to find out more about it, either contact me, deb@deb-morgan.com, and we can have a one-to-one conversation around that. Or write into andy@theloveshow.co.uk and ask specific questions, which I will answer in another week. But for now, I'm going to leave you with Andy, with this amazing track that's coming up next, and I will catch you next week. Thanks so much for listening, and keep your questions coming. I love answering them for you. Speak to you soon.
Join me in the next solo session where I'll be intimately yours once more. I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and you've been listening to The Real Relationships Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, support, or send me a voice message, and you might feature in a future episode.